Hello and welcome to the third meeting of today's International Corona Service Conference of AA. My name is Penny and I'm an alcoholic and your MC for today. My home group is the Broken Elevator Group in Livermore, California, and my online home group is the Global Speakers Group. And we are glad that you are all here. We are holding hour-long meetings every other hour today to explore how AA's traditions and concepts and other topics can allow us as individuals, groups, and service entities to navigate the now with the increase of AA online. We will open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So a few tech notes before we begin. Please be sure your video is off during the meeting. If you turn your video on during the meeting, you will be removed to the waiting room. Also, your audio will be silenced. If you would like to ask a question of the speaker, you will be able to do that at the end of this session. We're going to have two presenters for this session. We have Drew and Josh will be presenting. And when that is done, we will reopen the chat so that you can post questions. So if you have a pad of paper and pen near you, jot down questions that you may have of our speakers while they're sharing. And we will have, and the speakers will answer the questions. If there is disruption to the conference, please be patient. We may have to put everyone on hold for a couple of minutes until we can resolve the issue, but please trust us that we're here to be of service and looking at the safety of AA. Only recoverytapers.com has permission to record any part of this conference, and their recordings are available for free at the end of this conference. This morning's speakers are already available on that website. Again, recoverytapers.com. The AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. AA's seventh tradition states that we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. This conference has been organized by AA members and is not affiliated with any outside organization or institution. We ask that only AA members contribute. This money goes to pay for our expenses, including the use of this Zoom for today, which we really need to be able to, so please, contribute to the seventh tradition. Any excess will be sent to the AA General Service Office in New York. To contribute via Venmo, there's the full screen shows. To use the ID navigating dash now or the QR code on your screen, it is not necessary to friend us on Venmo to send a contribution. And if requested, the 4-digit code to input is 3670. If you would prefer to contribute via PayPal, please send your payment to the email conference0404202@gmail.com. At this time, please help me welcome my friend Drew B. from Concord, California, who will be sharing on the home group and technology. Drew, it is yours.
Thank you. P2, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So welcome, everybody. My name is Drew. I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober since December 6, 1995, and my home group is the Love and Service Group, and that's who I'm going to be talking a lot about today. First of all, I want to welcome everybody from around the world. Thanks for joining. I think that if you've stayed, well, first of all, if you signed on to this conference to learn about concepts and traditions, you're sort of SEAL Team 6. And if you stayed on halfway through this conference, I don't even know what qualification you are. So I hope you're enjoying the worst staycation ever. We are in Northern California. We are beginning week 4 of our confinement to home. For a lot of us, this is the longest we've been confined to our homes since we had ankle bracelets. So I want to start off first by giving a disclaimer. I'm going to talk a lot, and we have talked a lot today, about the various tools, the various technology that we're all using to connect in this new world. And I'm not trying to endorse any of them. I'm just sharing about what has worked for us so far. It's been mentioned a lot today that there are a lot of tools that do the same thing. Everybody seemed to adopt Zoom, but there's a lot of other teleconferencing tools out there, for example. And I am in no way endorsing them. I'm just telling you what has worked for us so far. So a little bit about my home group. This is the Love and Service Group. We're in the San Francisco Bay Area in the East Bay. We've been around for over 12 years now, and we have about 60 home group members that we've built up slowly over the years. And we were meeting at one point two nights a week. That's past tense at this moment, and I'll get into that and into why that is. Our group was founded by a very organized group of people that came up with a set of ideals, if you will, for how to structure their home group. And one of them was finding ways to communicate. And I don't know if it was forethought or dumb luck, but they really put a lot of thought and effort into creating ways that the home group could unify over technology. And so the screen that you see is of our website that we've had up for years now. I want to say, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years, something like that. I call it a luxury that we've had, but really it's not a new technology. Anybody can get websites up and running. And in this event, it's become a vital tool for our unity. And like I said, I'll talk a little bit more about that. So we used to meet two nights a week. We had a speaker meeting on Sunday nights that was pretty big. Some of you that I've seen on this conference have spoke at our home group. We loved sort of building this really fun Sunday night event. And then on Thursday nights, we had a meeting that had, it was a little bit unique. It was a newcomer meeting, which was sort of the most vibrant of the three. Also a big book study. And then finally a steps, traditions, and concept study. So there was a lot of questions about where you can find a concept study. We haven't really put that into our online setup yet, but we'll let you know. So then this happened, right? This is why we're all here today. Our friend Corona, stay away from that Rona, y'all. It is, it's this real live zombie apocalypse. A couple days, the week of, I think it was about March 10th, we started to worry about what was going on. And just like everybody else, we were confused, individually confused as to what all this was going to mean. I want to tell you a quick story about what happened on March 12th. March 12th was a Thursday. I was I'm a salesman, and I was driving a couple hours out of town to do a sales call. And all this news started circling around us. It was reminiscent of 9/11, right? We just couldn't peel ourselves away from the news. And I was starting to get really concerned, and there was some text starting to fly around with some of our home group members. And I called, we have a liaison who works with our facility. In this case, it's a church. So I reached out to Amy and I said, Amy, would you reach out to the church and see, you know, what their policy is gonna be about this virus? And sure enough, within an hour or two, we got the notice that our facility was closing, not just to us, but to everything. And that just started a domino effect across the whole Bay Area. 4 days later, there was a shelter in place. And then here we are, right? So here's what happened. And here is, I think, why we feel so positive in spite of all the negative going around these days. That heartbeat of AA started to flow right away, not at the next business meeting, not through some sort of planned group conscience meeting next. We started to utilize this software called Slack. Slack is a communication tool that operates across different platforms, so computers, tablets, phones. Now, the problem, and I work in technology, most of the time the problem is adoption, that people that use the technology just don't adopt it, right? And all of a sudden, as all these conditions that were out of our control started to become clear, more and more people started piling into our love and service Slack channel. And this began, and I want to give a shout out to my co-panelist today, who's going to talk about The Grapevine. This is a wonderful book from The Grapevine about the home group. And if I could retitle my presentation today, it would be The Heartbeat of AA, because that's proved true for me in this situation. So we started communicating over Slack. What are we going to do? We have a meeting. We have a responsibility to new people that show up to this meeting. What are we going to do? Plus, there was this mounting fear across the whole world about this virus. And we still are learning more about it. And, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So most of the time we'd form a committee, right? Tradition 9 allows us to not be too organized, but we can create committees that can come together to solve the problems and be responsible to our group. And so we had a couple committees in place already, but what ended up happening is we started forming committees that were devoted to this new normal, which was no more online or no more meetings at a facility. Debbie did a great job talking about we're going to have to reallocate all of our service commitments because most of them don't exist in place format. And something that's happened since March 12th is that we've started to pull back and reassign or jump into and recommittee and attack all of the new situations that we have, having our meetings online and finding ways to communicate with new people, create new meetings and whatnot. And so, the people on Slack, our home group members that were communicating over this communication tool, we all quickly, within a couple of hours, decided through a group conscience on this tool to have a meeting every week. We saw the need. We knew it was coming. Our facility was closed. We were hearing other facilities were closed. Let's have a meeting every single night of the week. And we were able to pull it off. So that was just one of the tech tools in what I'll call our tech stack. I apologize for being too Silicon Valley-y, a Valley girl. But this is a comprehensive list of all the tools that we've been using for years at Love and Service. I mentioned our website. We also accept electronic Seventh Tradition contributions, whether it be through a card or through an app. Either through Stripe or Venmo. And also, we've been Zooming our Sunday night meeting for, about 3 years now. And up to this point, we've Zoomed our Sunday meeting with no pictures of anybody. And it was really a tool that was developed for accessibility. One of the founders of our group has a disease that made him homebound, and he's been homebound for years and years. And through a group inventory, we decided we would start to Zoom our meetings so that he could, and then others who are just homebound or have little children or something like that, can start to experience our Sunday night meeting and be a part of the group. And so up until 3 weeks ago, we had 8 to 10 people on Sunday nights who would join on and participate and listen in on our Sunday night speaker meeting. So we were in a position to sort of leap into this whole world. And little did we know that we were prepared, even though we had kind of a passing adoption across our home group membership of adopting these tools. When the virus came into play, our participation took off. We had a business meeting where we had, I would say, for those who, we usually have like 40 to 50 people in our business meetings in person. We had a business meeting on Zoom where we had 60 people on it. So we had virtually 100% participation in our business meeting. And I'll talk more about the unity that came out of using these tools as we move forward. So let's talk about money. That's what everybody loves to talk about, right? So Seventh Tradition has been one of the hot topics and one of the barriers, I think, for a lot of AA groups, fellowships, areas on how to accept electronic contributions through for the Seventh Tradition. We've been doing it now, and I don't want to get into, this is not a braggy session, I'm just sharing our experience. We've been accepting electronic contributions for Seventh Tradition for years now. And I want to point out a couple of things. Number one, 20 years ago, the Congress here in the United States adopted what's called the eSign Act, or the Electronic Signatures Act. That allows people to give money back and forth electronically. There doesn't need to be a paper trail anymore. If you remember, if you're a seasoned veteran, if you will, somebody who's got a little snow on the roof like I do, when you had a checking account back before this time, you used to get all your checks back. Remember that? You get an envelope with all the checks you physically wrote. And, oh yeah, I remember checks. When was the last time you wrote a check? So for better or for worse, and I heard Billy talk about it this morning, we in AA have been reluctant to adopt electronic payments for whatever reason. And now there is literally no possibility for us to accept cash unless you want to drive across to somebody's house. But the, you know, these meetings that we're having online now, just like this conference, are they're from all of people from all over the world. There's absolutely no way for you to accept physical currency from this point. So accepting Seventh Tradition electronically is the only way possible forward. And I think that this becomes, I'm not only a silver lining, but I think we're getting hip checked into modernizing AA in this respect. And just to give you a little more perspective globally, this chart talks about how in the next four to five years, this is the entire country of Australia is predicting that they're going to be a cashless society by 2024. Now, I don't know, maybe that's true, maybe that's not, but in our home group, when we started to accept electronic payments, we had a pretty steady cash donation from Seventh Tradition that tracked with our membership, which unfortunately, and this is not what I'm going to talk about today, but usually is about a dollar per member. Some people give more, some people give nothing. That's usually what it tracks at. When we started to accept electronic donations, our Seventh Tradition, once it got going, was another additional, not in lieu of, but an additional 30% of Seventh Tradition. In other words, if we got $200 on Sunday nights after we started accepting electronic donations, our cash contributions for Seventh Tradition stayed at about $200, and we got an additional 30 or more in electronic donations, and that continued to track year over year. Also, people were inclined to give more when they made an electronic contribution. I don't know, maybe they're not used to it or whatever. I can't tell you why, but people were not giving $1 and $2 or $5. They were giving like I do. I give Seventh Tradition for the month. So I drop $50 into Stripe or Venmo, and that is my monthly contribution. Then I just don't have to worry about it. I move on for the rest of the month. Okay, let's move on from money. I know it's probably not the best time to talk about money. Let's talk about the, I think, revolution that's happening right now because of this virus. This is something that all of our speakers have touched on today, and it's really one of the underlying themes from my perspective on what this conference is about. We are getting dragged, whether we like it or not, into a new way of relating to each other in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, look at us today. The idea of having an online meeting or an online conference just 2 months ago seemed ludicrous, but here we are. I think that the idea that we could connect in this new way and set up all the support instantly in this amount of time is just crazy. I'd invite you just to take a moment to think about what's happened in the last 3 weeks, even though I know they kind of feel like 3 years at this point. But if you look in the lower right-hand corner of my slide, that is an aforementioned website. That's the A intergroup for Alcoholics Anonymous in the Bay Area. It's the San Francisco Marin intergroup. They, in a matter of weeks, put up an entire guide there. If you look there, first of all, and I'll talk about Zoom bombing in a while. We started to have our Zoom meetings, by the way, at Love and Service. They were wonderful. They were hugely attended. And then last Sunday, we started to get attacked by Zoom bombers. And it was disturbing for those who were trying to prevent it, and things got a little bit weird, and we can get into that a little bit later. But a week later, the San Francisco intergroup had an entire webpage devoted on how to handle meeting disruptions online. Along with that, if you look in the menu on the right side of their page, they have a section on managing meetings. How do you manage participants? How do you set up a meeting? Trainings and guides on how to do this whole thing. So I believe that regardless of what happens when we go back to quote unquote normal, whatever that may be, if that even is going to exist after this point, is pretty astonishing. And from the General Service Conference to the area that I'm on a committee in the area here in Northern California Coastal, the way that we do officer visits and assemblies is going to change. I guarantee it. I'll take money on that. So the other concept, or the other, in this case, I want to talk about concept 9. I will ruin the good work that Debbie did before me talking about concept 9. But what I can see and what I can share with you today about the practice of concept 9 and leadership in our home group over these last 3 weeks is that we have empowered people that were sort of honestly a little unsuspecting. We didn't realize that certain people that we didn't know about would have the tools or the inspiration or the willingness to jump into this new world. And I'll speak freely, you know, like this is the time for millennials in Alcoholics Anonymous. They are comfortable in this world. They are used to it. They have no problem learning online technologies like Zoom and Slack. And the millennials in our home group are now running the show. And I think everybody, including me, is so excited by that, right? We had maybe, I'm just speculating, maybe we had a bit of an antiquated system, you know? Maybe it was something that was a little boring. And now we have the ability to empower these people to jump in and help us in this new world. For millennials, they're comfortable. What in the tech world, we call them native users to technology. They're used to it. So throwing up a Zoom meeting is probably not that different. And my wonder is for those people that fortunately or unfortunately are getting sober in these days, you got to keep in mind that there are newcomers. There are people coming out of treatment centers that are closing, that are trying to get sober and look for us. Maybe they're going to look at this time and go, oh, you got sober pre-corona when you had to go to a room to go to get AA? What a dinosaur. It wouldn't be the first time I got called a dinosaur either. The other thing that I really am proud of my home group about is that they've been, you know, the membership of my home group has been very open to change, how things are going to be different, being flexible. I can't emphasize this enough that in these times when change is so rapid and we don't understand what's happening, you got to be flexible. And like I said, we had a business meeting on Zoom that was highly attended. We've had switches in our technology, changes in our domain name and our email, and we can, you know, I don't want to get into an alphabet soup of technology that will confuse most people, but you know, it really has become a way that we have become, a lot of us have become trusted servants who know the way to lead us forward, and a lot of them were the people that we just never expected, and it's beautiful to watch, you know. Ultimately, it comes down to unity. Rick James's ring says unity if you can't read it. And I want to share some of the things that are working. I'm about done, so I only have a couple more slides left. Sorry to disappoint you. more. But what's been working in the unity that's been expressed by Love and Service is number one, and these are like basically a set of tips and tricks that we, as somebody who's been doing this in this amazing 3 weeks of time, who would have thought that this 3 weeks, that three feels like 3 months, we can actually share some, you know, some tips and tricks on how to have a successful time in Zoom. So here's just a few of the things that I want to share. I've heard some of these already, but I'll re-emphasize them. Number one, having a little bit of time after the meeting for fellowship, just opening things up, letting people see each other's faces and say hello and express that part that we are all missing from being in the room with each other. That has been really valuable and powerful, is just after the meeting or setting up other times where there can be some just one-on-one interaction where you're like, hey, how you doing with this? Are you doing okay? You know, maybe even fellowship hours or setting up smaller breakout groups or things like this. You know, with this technology, there's pretty much an unlimited amount of opportunities for us to get together and have face-to-face time. So also when these meetings are really big, it can be impersonal. It's almost just like watching a YouTube channel. You're not really saying anything. Nobody really knows you're there. You know, there's only, it's one direction. So fellowship time on video on Zoom or what have you. You can hear this today, sharing the host work. When we first got Zoom bombed, there were only two of us on our speaker meeting on Sunday night. We had 350 people in the meeting, and we started getting attacked with like a bunch of people saying nasty things and putting porn on their video, and it was just kind of a nightmare. And I want to welcome all the Zoom bombers to the conference. If you're a Zoom bomber, we love you. Thank you. Keep coming back. Smaller groups, like I said, that's just another function. I do a smaller group of like less than 20. That's just friends, sponsees, sponsor, just to, like I said, break through some of the impersonality that's happening inside of these larger groups. Another concept is think of your Zoom, which we're calling it, as your room, right? So that's why these new policies that are coming around about locking up. Well, if your Zoom is a room, your room where you rented to have your meeting, you don't just leave it open so anybody can walk around in there. You open it up at a certain time and you lock it up when you leave. Think of Zoom in that same way. And by the way, the internet is the worst neighborhood in the world. I'll just let that sit. And then finally, multi-channel communication has been really profound for us. You know, when we were dealing with this Zoom bombing issue, we were so fortunate to have Slack to actually communicate, share passwords, share new ways of accessing, and then spread it out. But also email, text, other ways. I'm not a big fan of social media in this regard, but sometimes social media, making a private Facebook page, so on and so forth, will be helpful. And then finally, I want to leave really with some questions that I'm thinking about and that we are thinking about at Love and Service, you know. And this relates to tradition three, you know. We're turning a dial on like how people can get into our meetings, how people can participate in our meetings. You know, do we lock them up? Is there too much security? Not enough? How are we reaching the new alcoholic is really the big question. Our ultimate deal for us who have been sober a long time is how are we going to reach the still suffering alcoholic? How are the people that are getting out of detoxes or prisons or the hospital going to find us is the big question. And I don't have an answer for that. The other is the one alcoholic connecting with another in this time of crisis and, you know, all the insanity that's flying around. Are we still continuing to get that one-on-one time, which still works over Zoom, FaceTime, WhatsApp, any of those things? So you can see somebody's face, look at their eyes, come back and forth. I mean, I'm getting used to it, frankly. You know, I'm getting used to meeting my sponsees in that way. Accessibility. Once again, I want to emphasize the underpinnings of accessibility and technology. Help the people that are having a hard time with the technology. I'm talking to you, millennials and WIPOC groups. All of us gray hairs are not completely comfortable with this technology. Help them be patient. You know, there's that saying, every group is as fast as its slowest member. And so be considerate of seniors, parents, those with physical accessibility issues. And frankly, what's happened over the last year or so, or something, yeah, 3 weeks, is that, we've tried to, frankly, people are getting dragged a little bit. And actually, I think that's okay. You know, I think that we have to be receptive to the reality of our times. Thank God that the church where we met closed, because we'd still be in a committee debating whether we should go into the meeting or not. So Alcoholics Anonymous has an amazing track record for dragging out and, you know, making decisions way longer than they need to. So in some cases, when we make that through conscience decision, we kind of have to go. We go with it and we help those along around our time. And then finally, the Zoom bombing and other disruptions, I feel way more optimistic than I did a week ago about Zoom bombing. It seems like we're getting a better handle on it. And I'm hearing all kinds of wonderful stories about how we're, you know, treating the Zoom bombers like drunk alcoholics who stumble into our meeting. Aren't you adorable? You know, get another hobby and go back to playing video games, please. So I want to thank everybody for listening to me. And I'll turn the meeting back over to Penny so we can start hearing about the grapevine.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you so much.